There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're looking at the pages.
The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
Yeah, we're opening the pages with Yvette Judge from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, it is. Always nice to see you.
Nice to be in a nice, peaceful, calm environment.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you think this is?
Not for long.
wait till the show finishes at 4 o'clock. You've always got a bit of this. A bit of gossip for us. What's been happening then?
Yeah, well, it goes back to the peaceful, calm environment. So for whatever reason, everybody has suddenly got, festivals in a few months' time.
Really?
Yeah, and I was inquiring
highly
today,
strong.
Whether you can overdose on Rescue Remedy, which I'm a fan of.
I often worry
Apparently
about
you can.
That. Can you take it on an empty stomach? That's the other thing that I always wonder.
Oh, I do. And I've got the sleep spray as well.
Have you? There's a sleep spray?
The sleep spray is brilliant.
Who panics in their sleep?
Sleep.
Are there any people keeping calm though? Keeping calm and you know.
Yeah, actually, there are some people. I walk into some rooms and I'm just like, "What's the matter with you? Why are you not going?" Yeah, that's a worry. Actually, comms team are remarkably calm at the moment. I walk in there, it's just like, "Hello."
Maybe not working hard enough.
Well, there is that. There is that. Mm.
And how at the Emirates Lit Fest? How do we weigh up with to-do lists? Do people keep lists of jobs? Or
oh, I love the way people do that. I have books. I have whole books of to-do lists. Some people have post-it notes, quite like that. And there's
they can be lost though.
They are all over their wall.
Oh, I see.
But then if
a little
they
bit
fall
like
off
a serial
and they go in the bin, you're right.
Board.
Yeah, exactly. It's the crime board.
Steph does it on Messenger every morning. Jobs for today.
Jobs.
Yeah, usually gets sent to me.
In my head, it sounds nicer than that, though. Just sounds like jobs.
Jobs. Right.
Here's your jobs for today. Make sure they're done.
You've got to delegate. You've got to get as much off your list as possible.
Yeah, I do love a to-do list.
Me too.
I keep hundreds of them. Never do any of the items on there, but I keep loads of lists.
Sometimes I write one on there after I've done it, just so I can cross it off.
Yeah, that's quite a good feeling, isn't it?
It's just the best feeling. Yeah, I love it. All right, should we get into battle?
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Misanthropic, ignominy, admonish, rapacious, incomprehensibilities. Word for the week.
You know, I've seen that look before, and the way that Steph sits in a chair, it's a body language, thinks she's going to win. She's just got that smug kind of look.
No, I'm not sitting like a winner today.
Yes, you are.
I'm sitting normal.
No, you're not.
I don't feel very confident.
You weren't sat like that when you were talking in the introduction there to Yvette. You've changed your stance.
I just feel more comfortable.
Battle stance.
Everything is judged, isn't it? So we do get a word from Yvette that we need to fit into conversation somewhere.
Yeah.
And then Yvette judges us and sees who has used the word in the right way with the right pronunciation and who's basically better in the world than the other person between Steph and Mark. Are you ready for this?
I'm never ready for it. I hate it.
In no particular order, this has been put in by our lovely technical operator, Milani, over there, who's handling all the buttons. Steph is going first, so here we go.
We're going to be the kind of team who will play fair but tough. There'll be no skullduggery going on.
Oh,
we're going to win this clean.
That was good.
It was good, and I do feel like he tried to wreck it for me there by jumping in, like right on the back of me word. Did you hear him?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Okay. That was good.
The icing on the cake coming next.
Okay.
Have a listen to this. I mean, all that jockeying for position on the track, you know, I mean, there's obviously a lot going, a lot of tactics. Do you think there's any skullduggery going on there as well?
Oh, also very, very good. I'm going to start having to make the words really, really hard. I think I've just been making them too easy. Yeah.
Go on then, who's going to win?
I'm going to give it to Mark.
Yeah!
Why?
I don't
and
know.
The winner is Mark Lloyd.
Yes.
Oh no, or I might change my mind.
Fine.
Don't do it. You know, every time I wear this Adidas jacket, I seem to win. It's because it's a sporty
it's
jacket, you see. Yeah.
Shuzy, look for that jacket. We'll burn it tonight after the show.
So that's. I'll keep you quiet for a week. No more jobs on me.
It's going to be way more jobs now. more jobs. We're going to need a new word, Yvette. What have you got for us this week?
Oh, yeah. So I've obviously it's too easy, and I might change my mind. But no, I can't think of another one. So the word for the week is incandescent.
It is pretty easy. I use this all the time.
In what context? Are you incandescent with rage?
Which she is now.
At losing.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so you can just have it as something glowing, so you can be incandescent in your stage performance because you're so good, or you can have a light bulb that's incandescent because it glows, or you can be incandescent with rage or anger or something like that.
I look better by incandescent candlelight.
Very good. Yeah,
thank you.
I'm an incandescent radio presenter.
Oh, yeah.
No.
What do you mean? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
that was
quite
rubbish.
Scary.
Wasn't it?
The sort of,
wasn't it?
Of Mark being angry all the time.
Have you? Has Mark paid you or something? Is there something going on here?
Bribery.
I'm just going to leave now.
Yeah. I don't understand.
I've got a funny feeling today that Steph is going to storm out of the studio at 3:30.
Not come back tomorrow.
In a huff.
You have to find another person for your table.
Yeah.
The Rat Bank Best Brains in the Business Quiz. Getting into the books proper now then. We are going to start with some grown-up travelling, and this is one to pull on the heartstrings, I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
The one I've chosen for work.
Absolutely.
When you're travelling around and you need that calm moment. And I'm going to make everybody in the office read this book, actually. And it's a slightly random title, isn't it? It's called The Secret Life of Cows.
I saw this and I thought, this would be one of those titles that has nothing to do with the book at all. And then when I looked it up, I'm like, it's exactly to do with the book.
It's exactly to do with the book. It is exactly what the book is. And I like books like this. It's like the Norwegian Art of Woodpiling or Stacking or whatever it was, and it's the Hygge. And it's written by an organic farmer, a lady who's got just a few animals in Worcestershire, and it's all about how lovely it is keeping those animals and what you can learn from them. And it's just like, oh.
I bet none of them go to market, do they? I bet she, you know, just keeps them all.
Well, this is the thing. I wondered that because when you read about the book, it says cows are besotted by and dote on their newborns and nurture and counsel them as they grow up. They form devoted and inseparable friendships with their peers. They talk to each other, discuss the weather, pass on wisdom, introduce themselves to newcomers, go for walks. They kiss, they babysit, they love to be stroked, they play hide and seek. They have running races, they take offence, they hold grudges, they lose their temper, they get stressed and they grieve over the death of a parent or child. And I just read that and thought, you couldn't be a farmer and then send them to market.
No.
Knowing that.
No.
Made me very happy to be a vegetarian.
Yeah, that is true, actually. And I think, actually, for a vegetarian, this is probably quite a lovely book about cows.
And if you're not a vegetarian, it might make you one.
Exactly.
I think it would read in this book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's have a listen to Rosamund just telling us how she believes that she knows cows so well.
From a tiny tot, I just walked among the cows. There was never any fear. It was part of the family. We were never even told to be careful. I didn't ever click in my head that they liked each other. I mean, it should have been obvious, but it didn't occur to me. They were our cows, we liked them, and they seemed to like us in certain measure. Two particular cows, a mother and daughter, were separated. We kept some at home. We sent some to some grazing that we rented from another farmer some miles away. So when they came back, this mother and daughter just stood together non-stop every day, and they were just really pleased to be back together. Sometimes a mother would get three sons, one who's like 2 years old, 1 year old, and a few months old, and always they would sleep together at night, even if during the day they grazed in different parts of the farm. And so we gradually saw over the years there were huge differences, but they were all individuals. And that's when we decided we needed to treat them as individuals.
It's adorable. I love cows. I'm scared of them, but I wish I wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, they are quite large animals, and they are incredibly dangerous if you, if
get between them and a baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you especially ever approached a cow?
You've
run away from one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I've ever consciously gone up to one and said,
I was reading.
Pat it on the nose.
This book, The Secret Life of Cows, I was reading about it, and apparently it was first published by a specialist farming press 14 years ago.
I know, and then suddenly it's been picked up again. And again, it goes, there's this, Ian Rankin, the crime writer, was speaking about when awful things are happening in the world, people actually want nice books. They don't want lots of unpleasantness. And I think this just absolutely fills that little gap there for a lovely, lovely book all about looking after cows. And she comes over so passionate about her
animals. She does. She loves them, doesn't she?
I can't wait to buy that book. Thank you very much for bringing it to our attention. It's great.
The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
And from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature, Yvette Judge joins us as ever on a Monday afternoon. We've already talked about a book with some very sensitive cows in it. Where are we going next?
Well, we're combining two passions of mine, that's food and travel. So we're going to let Rick Stein take us on the road to Mexico.
Okay.
I really like Mexican food, and my husband doesn't, so we don't really eat it that often. And I just saw this, thought, oh, yeah. Mm.
I just find that it's difficult to find authentic Mexican food in Dubai, and that's my problem with it, with eating
it
here.
I'm sure you're right. Maybe I should take him to Mexico.
Yeah, or America.
Like real food. Or America. Yeah. Either of those things. So, yes, he's doing his, he's travelling through Mexico, talking about the food there, going back to 1968 when he first went there.
So if you went to Mexico and ordered like a nachos, would they look at you as though, who on earth is this?
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
They certainly have, they have tacos there still, don't they? I'm sure they have them, but possibly not as we know them.
Now, Rick Stein, there's a reason that he chose this country. He absolutely loves everything about it.
I've been to Mexico many times, and I love the cooking there. And this book is a journey to Mexico and to California to find all those recipes I love so well, bursting with colour and flavour. And I wasn't disappointed. And just to give you an idea, here's a few recipes which I really think are perfect. First of all, prawn empanadas from Puerto Vallarta on the Pacific coast. Then from San Diego in California, a wonderful stew of tuna with black beans and chili. Sort of chili con carne seafood style. And a dish that you find all over Mexico, chicken tinga. Pulled chicken with a beautifully smoky salsa made with chipotle chili.
Oh, I love that chili con carne, don't you? Seafood style.
Seafood, yeah. Oh, wow. That sounds more authentic.
Definitely. Yeah. Quite, I would really like to try that, I must admit.
And it is colourful, isn't it? Mexican food. Yeah. Loads of colours popping out.
Yeah. Mm. Spicy. Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
One for that. Yeah, yeah, I think, and it's TV series as well, so I'd quite like to do both, watch the TV series, read the book, and then go to Mexico and try it out.
So you can back it up, yeah, TV and book. Now, this next one that we're going to be talking about, you can back up with a movie. Never mind the TV, you can go to the silver screen and watch the film.
Yeah, so Murder on the Orient Express, Agatha Christie. Not exactly a new book, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
However, with the movie being out and Kenneth Branagh being Hercule Poirot, I thought it was maybe time to revisit the book, actually. Mm-hmm. And I love Agatha Christie's. I wish I was Miss Marple. That would have been my true dream job. I'm ageing gently to get there eventually. I'm taking up knitting. I'm working on it. But in fact, we've got Hercule Poirot in Murder on the Orient Express, not the lovely Miss Marple, and one of Agatha Christie's most successful books. Most people know the story. They've probably seen the really old film, probably read the book. But I think that the film's probably got mixed reviews. But I think if you're an Agatha Christie fan and you like that really period atmosphere, it's brilliant. And obviously with the book, you get it. And they're a quick read. You wouldn't need to get too wrinkly in the bath. A couple of evenings.
How many times have you read it?
Murder on the Orient Express, I've probably read it half a dozen times because they are my comfort books.
That many?
Yeah.
Could you read a book six times?
Oh, yeah. I've read Harry Potter multiple times, in different languages even.
Yeah. See?
I love books. But I have read Murder on the Orient Express and I watched the film, I think it was last weekend, and I was still shocked. And I was like, what? And even though I knew what was coming, I was still shocked. I liked the movie.
Because it's got a good twist. Haven't read it and you haven't seen the film, then do. Because there's the whodunit bit is an interesting one.
It's got a fair old cast as well. Judi Dench, I know, is in it. And, of course, Johnny Depp. And here's Johnny talking about just how well this book translates to film.
This kind of stuff, I think, translates to cinema so beautifully because really, ultimately, the job is done for you visually by Agatha Christie. The character work is pretty much done. Everything translates so well because she did not, the detail with which she approached her books and these characters and her observations, it's astonishing. I mean, it's impressive. No, I don't think, if you really think about it, it would be quite an interesting to know the process that she went through as she was writing a book. Now I have to read a book about her to find out.
Is it one of those that you won't go and see Yvette because you might be disappointed?
Oh no, I would absolutely go and see it. Yeah,
Yeah.
That it's
how did you like it?
I really liked it. And even with Johnny Depp and everyone and all the controversies about everyone.
Exactly.
It is one to watch.
Still a good movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
So for me, it's going to be that. And then I think Paddington's coming out here. So excited about
what, the movie?
Yeah, the second one.
Really?
Yeah. I love Paddington.
You're a Paddington fan?
Oh, my goodness.
I remember I was in London and they had all Paddington statues.
That's right.
all around the place, around the parks and everywhere. Yeah.
Paddington and I were born in the same year, so we have a natural affinity.
Not related to the bear, but my first encounter with royalty was at Paddington Station in England. I ran past Princess Anne. And I was like, that's Princess Anne. But I had to run because I had to get my Heathrow Express to go off to the airport.
Yeah. Did the station come before the bear? I think it probably did.
I think it did. Yeah. It was named after the station.
All right. So that's our book for the bath then. And as Yvette says, you won't get too wrinkly because it's not that long a read. Agatha Christie, Murder on the Orient Express. Where are we heading next?
I think we need to head to the children's.
Children.
Yeah. My favourite place.
Yeah, because you've got a lot of kids in this studio.
Absolutely.
Well, one's gone.
Yeah. The biggest one has gone,
The one's gone, he's having a strop, that's fine.
So, what have we got?
We have got the latest David Walliams, which I think will be featuring as a lot of Christmas gifts this year. David Walliams is hugely successful as a children's writer, whatever else he's done. He's really got so many kids reading, and the latest is called Bad Dad. And I quite love it, actually.
Bad dad.
So bad dad doesn't start bad at all. Daddy's a great dad. He has an accident. He's got his little boy, and there's mum as well. But then mum leaves home, so it's dad on his own with little boy, and dad has to try and earn enough money to keep them alive. And to do that, dad becomes a little bit bad.
Oh, how sad.
Like,
I'm shedding a tear here.
Yeah.
Not really a kid's book, is it?
It is. Definitely a kid's book, yeah. And it's the usual brilliant use of language and excitement and loads of strange text sizes and everything. So it's a fun book to look at and a fun book to read.
What happened to the mum, the bad mum?
Well, she goes off.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ruins the story, really.
All right, well, let's have a listen to David Walliams. He was recently on the Graham Norton chat show in the UK, and he was talking about books, and he gets a lot of letters from children.
I get a lot of letters from kids. I had one recently which said, Dear David, I'm writing to you because you're my second favourite author. My favourite author is J.K. Rowling, but my teacher said she's going to be too busy to reply, so I'm writing to you. I knew someone who knew J.K. Rowling. I thought she might amuse us. I sent it to her. And she wrote back and said, it reminds me of when I went to a school and did a talk and all the kids were asked to write on a piece of paper what they thought of the talk afterwards. And one of the girls just wrote, she needs to brush her hair.
That's David Walliams then. Look out for his new book for the kids. It's called Bad Dad. Now, we got a podcast for sports lovers and a new novel from Andy Weir, who wrote The Martian. This book has been described as another irresistible brew of science, suspense and humour.
The Radio Book Club. Official ticketers past this point only.
With Yvette Judge from the Emirates Airline Festival of Literature. All sorts of books as ever, and we're travelling home with this next one, I believe.
Yeah, whatever method of transport you're using to get home, I think you could find something in this one to make your journey that much shorter and easier. It's called Artemis, and it's by Andy Weir. And Andy Weir is probably best known for his book before this, The Martian, which was made into a film, a Ridley Scott film.
Yeah.
So he is a science fiction writer, but he doesn't do the sort of, you know, imaginary alien fantasy, fantastical stuff. He does hardcore science. He's a real science nerd, and that's his background. So the Martian was very science-y based, and Artemis the same. So Artemis, he doesn't go as far as Mars for that one. It's the first city on the moon. It's the first human colony on the moon. And the main character is Jazz, and she's quite a feisty lady. She's been compared to Lisbeth Salander in the Stieg Larsson book.
Girl with the dragon tattoo.
That was a nice chorus. a great central character, and basically she needs to make money, and the way she's going to do that is by doing a little bit of smuggling on the side, but it gets a little bit larger and more out of hand than she'd anticipated.
Mm. Right, so let's have a listen then to Andy Weir just chatting a little bit about the book and why he chose this title.
I never really considered any other name than Artemis. It's such a perfect name. So first off, Artemis is the Greek goddess of the moon, among other things. Second off, Artemis is Apollo's twin sister. And Apollo were the lunar missions from NASA in the 60s. So it just seems to be a perfect fit. Creating Artemis was actually a lot of fun. It's one of those things where I spent weeks and weeks carefully crafting all the details of the city, of which the reader will see about 1% in the story. The Martian was a straight up human versus nature story where the goal was simple survival. Artemis is a much more complicated crime story with mysteries involved, and it was much more difficult to write, but also a lot more interesting, I think.
That's Andy Weir then talking about Artemis, a book that you might want to read traveling home. We just got time for a podcast.
Definitely. But can I just also say very quickly, Andy Weir, Litfest, next yes. March, Friday, 9th of March, 10 a.m. Don't miss him. Live videocast.
Hmm.
Yeah. And the podcast.
The podcast.
The podcast. Something very erudite and learned today. We're going to go to history, and we've got stories from the edges of history, and the series is called Outliers. It's quite a new one, and mm-hmm. it's taking characters who are unknown in history and telling you their story. Really enjoyed it.
So this is coming from the first episode, Purify, where the Roundheads, who were the supporters of Parliament of England during the English Civil War, fought against Oliver Cromwell.
I am proud to be a part of the resistance to Cromwell, and I am unequivocal that Cromwell must die. We are hiding. Cromwell is close. We will purify Cromwell. Sexby comes to see me in an absurd disguise. He's all ablaze with news of Cromwell. He has befriended a member of Cromwell's lifeguards, a man called John Toop. This John Toop character, corpulent and dissolute, a mudslide of a man, with rolls of blubber cascading brazenly across his belt line, yet eyes so close he could be Cyclops, hideous and criminal. Licks the grease off his fingers while he talks. Ugh.
Historical podcast.
Yeah.
Is that your alley?
It's a good story.
Yeah, as long as the voice is good. I would listen
good,
to anything.
That
yeah.
voice was good.
Yeah. So that's what I was wondering.
And it fitted perfectly for the time period, didn't it?
Yeah. So time, yeah. Voice-wise, I will listen to that.
What's it called again?
It's called Outliers.
Stories from the edges of history.
Yeah.
Love it. Yvette, thanks so much for being with us once
Thank
again.
You.
We'll see you next week.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.